Be seated. Good afternoon. We have a public hearing this afternoon on 0601 in the amendment of SCR 7201 regarding record retention. The presenter is the Honorable James R. Kiefer, Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge. Judge Kiefer. While he's approaching the podium, is there any other person here who wants to make an appearance on this matter? Good.
Thank you, Chief.
Judge?
Good afternoon,
Judge. Good to see you.
It's good to see all of you too here. Before I begin, I just wanted to mention this is a distinct honor being in front of everyone today. Next month will represent exactly 30 years since I was actually here and I got sworn in, and I did my homework and I checked, and I know none of you were here, and Chief, I was looking to see if you were here at that time, and I think I missed you by probably 3 or 4 months at that time here.
So. In September, you were probably sworn in, but maybe I moved your admission.
Well, there was a lot of things going on that particular day, Chief, and I'm glad that I got there. I'm glad I finished in law school, but it's now been 30 years since that point in time here. And
isn't that amazing?
It's a distinct honor. I've never had the opportunity to actually formally be here in front of the Supreme Court. I've been here a couple times, but this is the first time. And I always wondered when that opportunity would hit. And I know that when John Murphy stepped down as the chairperson of records management and I was volunteered for that position, which I agreed obviously to do, I had a feeling that someday I would be here. So today is that day, and again, it's a distinct honor.
And you have the perfect case to argue.
Yeah, exactly.
As you know, we turned down all records management positions.
I know you do. I know you do. I know you do, too.
Well, I think today.
Did you bring an assistant with you today?
Well, I did, Justice, and it's another proud day. This is my daughter who is here. My daughter, Amy, is a sophomore at Madison, though I went to Marquette, but she's here at Madison, and my other son's at Minnesota, so we got them all over the Big Ten here. But as I was telling my daughter today, I think if I ever have a lawyer in the family, it's probably going to be my daughter here. But so it's kind of a real neat honor to have her here today, because I know that she's been here on tours, and I think there was about probably 15 years ago, I think, Justice Wilcox, I remember being here once when the kids were much smaller here, and I happened to file my nomination papers, and you were here. So if someday, maybe she'll be in front of all you again to be sworn in here.
Well, so. We'll sit up straight and try to impress
okay.
her.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Now I've forgotten what we're here for.
Prove it.
Go ahead, Judge.
I'll be short. I'll be real short here. As chairperson of the Records Management Committee, questions regarding forms and procedures regularly are brought to the committee's attention. One such inquiry recently was referred to a subcommittee of records management called Records and Retention, and the referral came from one of the clerks of courts here in Wisconsin, who asked why our current one-year retention period for dismissed small claims cases was measured from the date of filing rather than from the date of the entry of judgment. The one-year retention period becomes problematic since generally small claims litigants move to reopen their case, if they do that, under Section 799.29 of the statutes that provides that a motion to reopen must be filed within 12 months after entry of judgment. 799.29, which bears the title Default Judgments, should technically only be used when reopening defaulted small claims cases. However, through a recent survey that had been conducted with all of the clerks of court around the state of Wisconsin, it appears that when small claims cases are dismissed for any reason, the trial court judges and commissioners allow the parties to file a motion to reopen under 799.29 when I guess technically they should not be doing that. Our current retention period under our Supreme Court Rule 72.01 Parent 8 indicates that the clerks of court are to retain dismissed small claims cases for only 1 year after the date of filing. However, 799.29 provides that the time limit for reopening a small claims case is actually 1 year after date of entry of judgment. And as a result of this practice around the state of Wisconsin, clerks of court are not currently retaining dismissed small claims cases long enough to properly comply with the time limits for reopening under 799.29. These retention periods have not been a problem in the past because when Supreme Court Rule 72.01, Parent 8, was originally enacted, the period for reopening cases under 799.29 was 6 months. It's now 1 year. Therefore, records management, after this inquiry was brought to their attention, is now recommending to you to increase the retention period for dismissed small claims cases from 1 year from the date of filing to 2 years from the date of entry of judgment. It's the committee's belief that 2 years should be sufficient time to retain the file well past the date any small claims litigant may possibly move to reopen his or her dismissed small claims case. So, therefore, I am respectfully asking on behalf of Records Management Committee for the court to amend section or Supreme Court Rule 72.01, Parent 8, to increase the retention period for dismissed small claims cases from 1 year from the date of filing to 2 years from the date of entry of judgment.
Thank you, Judge Kiefer. Are there any questions? Ordinarily, I'll ask again, does anyone else want to make appearance on this matter? Okay, hearing none, the hearing on this matter is closed. Ordinarily, the court would leave the bench. The table would be set up for a hearing. That is for an open administrative conference. I'm going to see if we can't shortcut this, but maybe we can't.
Are you
David Runke has given us a memo indicating that he has made communication with a variety of people, including Legislative Reference Bureau and Revisor of Statutes Office. He has given us a draft order. He indicates that no person with whom he or others have spoken have any problem with retention of this of these records for this time period. The only request made was that we make it effective prospectively and July 1 to give enough notice. So, and I think it would be automatic. Well, my question is, just one more. Yes, I do, but one moment. Is your order drafted prospectively? Because it says 2 years from date of entry of judgment of dismissed cases. I think you have to put in a provision in that order that says this order is effective for all judgments entered after July 1, 2006. Because otherwise it is not prospective. My supposition is that the court wishes it prospective. So knowing that, I will take a motion.
All right. I move that we amend SCR 72.01 regarding record retention to the point of 2 years.
All right. And prospective July 1, 2006.
Right. I second that.
Is there any discussion?
Is there some way to mark the file, or how does one know that a file involves a dismissed case that's different from a stipulated dismissal?
What difference does it make? Do you want one of them held?
As I read this, help me if I'm wrong, you keep for 20 years after entry of final order for contested cases, stipulated dismissals, and default judgments.
That's large claims.
Well, that's but
a special one, 2 years from the date of entry of judgment for dismissed cases. I'm sorry. But small claims, you're right. Right. I'm sorry. You're right.
So we've got to have some history left.
Okay, let's say this is a stipulated dismissal.
Right.
And this one is a entry of judgment for dismissed cases.
Right. So
is the color different, or how do you know which is which?
Judge Kiefer?
So that's a great question, Justice. I really don't know how to answer that. I really hadn't thought of that until right now here, and the only thing I can think of is that if the court does pass this, to go back to the clerk's office to somehow, either with the clerks or with CCAP, to somehow code that so that the clerks are able to pull the right file and maintain it under 2 years or 20 years. Otherwise, I don't know how else they would do it.
Pardon me?
That's the correct answer.
Correct answer is to have the CCAP.
You can have a CCAP case record events.
Mr. Velker.
CCAP will allow, through the case record events or the codes within CCAP, to identify the difference between those two type of cases.
John, I don't understand a difference either. It says in the order, 20 years after entry of the final order for, number one, contested cases, number two, stipulated dismissals, number three, default judgments, semicolon, 2 years from the date of entry of judgment for dismissed cases. Well, stipulated dismissal is a dismissed case. A default judgment is a dismissed case. Perhaps a final order in some cases is a dismissed case as well. I don't know what you mean by dismissed case. This is one where, if I read the memo properly, it's for cases that were not proceeded with.
Correct. Correct.
So it's dismissed for failure to prosecute. So maybe the thing to say, 2 years from date of entry and judgment for cases dismissed for failure to prosecute.
Correct.
There's another small claims statutory section. It's 799.225 that deals with a dismissal of a small claims case that after issue has not been joined, the court after 6 months has the ability to dismiss it. This is what we're talking about, Justice Rogenczyk.
All right. So we have why don't we use the language from 799.225, if that's the statute.
So you say a case dismissed pursuant to 799.225, that would do it?
We prefer not to have cross-references to statutes because if they change statutes or change the numbers, it becomes difficult. But if we put in the language from 799, which you said was 225?
799.225.
Okay.
The rule is drafted where it would
say
dismiss small claims cases.
Without notice, dismiss any action or proceeding in which issue has not been joined, which is not otherwise disposed by judgment or stipulation in order within 6 months from the original return date. So that's the language that should be used.
Where issue has not been joined?
Yeah. For dismissed cases in which issue has not been joined, which is not otherwise disposed of by judgment or stipulation, which goes back to the 20 years, and order within 6 months from the original return date. Do we have further information?
Sarah Ward was just whispering in my ear, Chief, dealing with that. Correct. And I guess there would be a slight problem if a defendant just doesn't show up.
If it's default, it's going to be held for 20 years.
True. True.
If it's dismissed under 22-5, it's going to be 2 years.
And that was my understanding of the proposal here.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong.
Right. I'm sure that the second and the person making the motion would consent to the amendment.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Any other discussion? Nothing's easy in life.
Oh.
Okay. Mr. Runke, you will have to recirculate the order, taking into account 799.225, assuming this motion is passed, as well as an effective date, right? Okay. With those two amendments, subject to the court approval of the language, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Well, Judge, you won your first one. The second one will be hard. I want to thank you, and I hope you'll thank the entire committee. This is a very hard-working committee on a lot of work with a lot of details, and worked long and hard for many years, and want to thank you. And I hope that you will convey the thanks of the entire court to the entire committee.
I'll do that Thursday because we meet this Thursday and Friday. So.
Would declare victory. We are adjourned on this. Okay.
Very good. Take care.